Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage, it's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's R.A.M. just tuning into the program. Talk about the Ravens here, Lamar Jackson in particular. By the way, if you missed this news, it's not earth-shattering, but it's news nonetheless. Rookies report to training camp July 19th, then the 26th. The veterans will show up, and I guess usually, Vinny, the protocol is the next day, training camp starts.
Yeah. Yeah, because they'll probably have conditioning tests, blah, 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 and then they'll get started. Now, the Ravens did put out a email today about camp to feature 16 open practices at Owens Mills. So the fans will be back, which is good. And then, Bob, the stadium training camp practice, Saturday, July 30th, 7 o'clock.
Plan accordingly.
Fireworks night at M&T Bank Stadium, free and open to the public. And a post-practice player autograph session for children ages 6 to 14.
There you go. Yeah. So the 105.7 The Fan calendar is determined the 27th is on a Wednesday?
Yes.
So Thursday's the 28th. Friday. That'll be a Saturday, as you said, right after camp starts. So you get a couple out there, one winning drive, and then open to the public on the 30th, reconnecting with the fans in
good.
A big way here.
It'll be fun because when we go out to practice, you know, and it's good for
And the 13th, real quick, Vinny, that's where fans could go out there and, like, kind of claim their spot. Isn't that what that says?
Ooh, I'll tell you exactly what it is, Bob. On the 13th, training camp practices, beginning Wednesday, July 13th at 11 a.m., fans can visit BaltimoreRavens.com/training camp or the Ravens mobile app to claim a parking pass for one of the free open practices at the Under Armour Performance Center. And its online reservation is first come, first serve to secure a parking pass, which will admit one car worth of people to the specific practice requested. So, you could have 10 people in that car.
Be like a clown car. Like the old VW Beetle of 72 people. Like clowns will be getting out of it left and right. It'll just not stop coming out. But so that what the Ravens are telling you is now the fans are back and the media throng's going to be normal.
Yeah.
People are going to be directing traffic. You just can't pull into one winning drive and park wherever the hell you feel like it. Sometimes they come in by the busloads.
Oh, yeah. It'll be crowded and they'll have the concessions and stuff out there. It's a good atmosphere. And for the players, Bob, you know, because the player, you know, it gets hot and you get tired. But fans are cheering and stuff, you know, so it's that the players enjoy that.
Awesome. All right, let's get to Lamar Jackson, who we anticipate will be there on the 26th, or maybe not. We'll get to that in a second. But contract talks stalled, slow. They're talking, whatever. It's been pretty close to the vest. But Lamar was asked last week when he met with the media out there at Mandatory Minicamp why he didn't want to have talks this offseason.
I was away, and I just wanted to grind. That's why.
So he was doing his work,
Yeah.
And didn't want to deal with, I don't want to say nonsense, because it's not nonsense. This guy's about to get $300-400 million with at least 160 of it guaranteed. But this was my assumption all along, Vinny, that he wasn't ready to deal with that sort of thing. He just wanted to get his work in, show up motivated for training camp, mini camp, and then everything else would kind of fall into place. I guess he wanted to enjoy the offseason while there still was one for him.
Yeah. But Bob, I'm just saying, couldn't you enjoy the off season more if you'd, you know, just, you know, you're able to sleep at night because you know what? I'm set for life. My family's set for life. You know, I just got $150 million guaranteed and I'm making $43 million a year, you know, and I probably just got a $50 million signing bonus.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, to me,
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, if
Lamar was my son, I would be, you know, hey, let's get it done. I mean, look at, you know, what's going on. I mean, especially, you know, look at with Ferguson. You just never know, man.
Now, with Deshaun Watson, by the way, you never know what's going to happen with him. Right. We do know is Cleveland gave him $230 million guaranteed. And Lamar was asked if that number has anything to do with his self-worth.
Nothing at all. You know, I'm a man of my own. I don't worry about what those guys get.
But to some level,
you got to.
He's aware of it.
Oh,
let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, because let me just say this. In negotiations, it's all about comparables. So, you know, somebody in his camp is following exactly what everybody is getting.
Just like we assume, could be wrong, that whole Chris Sims dust up. I'm going to guess Lamar Jackson doesn't watch Pro Football Talk.
Right, but somebody in his camp
Gave him the heads up, and that's why he responded to Chris Sims. But the other news, draft time, where Lamar was connected, was the Hollywood Brown trade and, you know, seeing your buddy getting dealt away. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I was kind of like hurt because that's my boy. No, but it's all good. Like I said, it's part of the business.
So I guess they talked to him after the WTF, you know, kind of explained it all to him, you know. And I mean, Lamar's probably, you know, I mean, he knows that Marquise has not been happy. They drive together all the time after every game. So he knows, you know, who you gonna, Bob, if. As soon as you get in the car after a game, especially say you've had a bad one and you still won, you know, you're going to bitch and complain to the dude who you're riding with.
Right. Or the guy that's throwing you the football.
Right. Or not throwing you the football.
Exactly. Vinny at 81057, the Fan News from the Nest, featured artist Friday. Now that Marquise is gone to Arizona, Rashad Bateman ascends to the number one spot wide receiver. And Lamar, how's that chemistry working out?
February, when, you know, offseason first came, my ankle got better. We were just... had chemistry off back. You know, it was like I never stopped playing, really. And I just felt like when I got to camp, it was going to be the same way, and it has.
So did you notice a connection between Bateman and Lamar last week?
I didn't think they had a problem. You know, well, they've been throwing all off season too. So, you know, I don't think there's any issues there. But I did notice that, you know, when Andrews was on the field, ball was heading to 89.
Vinny at 81057 The Fan. We'll come back, count some Friday money, hopefully buy or sell, and we'll look back at last night's draft. Paolo Banchero goes number one from Duke to Orlando. Did that stun Ryan McDonough from Odyssey? He's an NBA insider. He's an NBA general manager. He's in Phoenix and the other draft. The Wizards do with Johnny Davis at number 10. Talk about that and more later on in the program. NFL Lunch, and we'll preview the Orioles and White Sox game 2. We talk about it tonight at 6 here on The Fan. Me and Jim Hunter, it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Orioles win the opener 4-0. That's actually 3 straight shutout games involving the Orioles. Luckily, 2 of them, they won.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Featured artist Friday upon the weekend, almost. Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Quick Draw McGraw other side of the glass. A lot happening in the world of sports, like the NBA draft. We're talking about that. Ryan McDonough at the bottom of the hour. Orioles in Chicago tonight, trying to make it two in a row over the White Sox. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 5. So there's plenty to discuss. But let's start off talking about money, hopefully with Buy or Sell.
Well, Bob, what color do you think my phone is?
Based on your hesitation there, I'm going to lean towards red.
The Dow's up 649.
Oh, stand correct.
Yes. No, Bob, it's been three straight days. I mean, this is like this is not normal lately. The S&P's up 90. The NASDAQ is up 267. You know, DraftKings is up 71 cents. Under Armour's up 23 cents. You know, so it's a good day. You know, instead of getting you an 18 pack, get a 24.
Oh, well, I'm buying something at 220.
All right. Well, we've been talking a lot about the Browns quarterback situation, Deshaun Watson and everything, and the trade rumors are heating up for Baker Mayfield, Seahawks and Panthers both being linked to him. But at the end of the day, we still know that it's a two-team bidding war, and the Browns, they don't have much leverage. Many still expect Mayfield to ultimately be cut, at which point he can sign with whoever, but rumors are if a trade did happen, at least with the Seahawks, they would be willing to extend him upon his arrival. That way you lower the lofty cap hit for 2022. But Vinny, buy or sell, if Mayfield gets released, signs as a free agent, he will only be getting a one-year prove-it deal with whoever he signs with.
I'll buy that, you know. But the thing about it is I think the Browns got the leverage, you know, because they own him. And it's up to the Browns. I mean, the Browns could trade him today if they say, hey, we're going to eat $12 million, you know, but then give us a better draft pick. So, I think that he'll have to prove it. Bob, how happy you think like Carolina and Atlanta are that, you know, that Cleveland made that unbelievable offer financially that they didn't get Deshaun Watson?
They tried like hell, though.
Yes, they did.
Some divine intervention, perhaps. We talked to Kyrie Irving. It's been a few days since we talked about Kyrie, so we're due.
Can't wait.
Circling back here with this whole Nets situation. They're at an impasse with the contract talks. He's got a list of teams he would prefer to be dealt to if it comes to that. Perhaps some more leverage for Kyrie, though. Also being rumored, if he exits Brooklyn, Kevin Durant would want out as well. Not necessarily going to the same team, but if Kyrie's not there, why would he want to stay? Bob, buy or sell? Are you buying or selling that Kyrie and Durant are still tied at the hip?
I'm selling that because Durant kind of said today that he's his own man, paraphrasing a little bit.
Paraphrasing Lamar.
Yeah. So, and look, for a guy in Kyrie Irving who has not played a lot of basketball for whatever reason, and there are multiple reasons over the last couple of years, what kind of leverage does he really have? I mean, we're 11 years past his draft day, so he's in his 30s now. Still a premier player. Nobody's denying that, but, you know, what's really been going on with him since he left Cleveland?
Has he ever played a full season, Bob? He didn't in college.
Well, he only played half the year in Duke. And they got bounced in the tournament.
Yeah. So, I mean, has he ever played?
I mean, he's had some stack 'em games.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hasn't been AC Green by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm selling that him and Durant are tied together. And I'm also selling this Kyrie leverage stuff. You notice he didn't put Sacramento on this list of teams.
No. Dennis
why,
Allen.
Why would he?
Back to the NFL.
That's like the wide receivers.
He's better off playing on the moon.
It's like the Ravens getting a wide receiver.
Dennis Allen assumed the role of head coach in New Orleans after Sean Payton stepped away earlier this year. And while Allen does get praise for his work rebuilding that Saints defense between 2015 and 2021, haven't heard his previous head coaching stint with the Raiders brought up much. Whereas, you know, some other head coaches, we always look at what they've done in the past, good or bad. Haven't heard much with Dennis Allen. Held an 8-28 record a little over two seasons with the Raiders. Vinny, buy or sell, Allen has all the pieces around him in New Orleans to assert himself this time as a competent coach.
I'll buy that if Jameis Winston plays well. You know, because it's all about the quarterback. If Winston plays good, they got some talent. You know, I mean, they got some players and they had a hell of a defense. And I'm guessing that Dennis Allen's a smart guy and he's learned a lot from Sean Payton. You know, just like, you know, the same with Josh McDonald's, you know, being an assistant again for so long after the Bronco thing, learning from Belichick, that you can't be Belichick. You know, you got to be your own guy, and hopefully Dennis Allen's learned that this time.
There has been some chatter, however, that Alvin Kamara might get suspended for six games.
Saw that.
Yeah, that one's been swept under the rug a little bit.
That came, well, it crept out yesterday.
Right. Yeah, it's because the trial's coming up, isn't it? August or something?
It was an altercation, correct?
He told the cop he punched the kid a couple times.
Oh, the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl week, right?
In Vegas.
This goes to show you nobody likes the Pro Bowl. Except the NFL.
NBA draft. Past couple of years, we've seen some very strong NBA draft classes, especially last year, but that's not always the case every year. You can have a dud class. 2021, you got Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, among others, all asserting themselves with a strong rookie season. 2022 class, we saw where everyone landed last night. Bob, buy or sell, the 2022 draft class will be just as fruitful, if not more, than last year's class.
Selling it. Holmgren, I think, and Smith are going to be futures kind of guys. I mean, Mobley was kind of that dude last year for Cleveland. I think Bancaro could be an instant impact. What's that impact going to be? I like Ivy a lot. With the Pistons, I think he and Cunningham are going to make a nice duo for many years to come. But I'll sell that on first glance.
We'll close with some hockey here.
Okay.
Mikko Rantanen, if I nailed that name.
You did. You hit it right on the head.
Nice. I always love doing that. It led the Avalanche in goals this season with 36. Caught fire in the conference finals as well. Scored in all four games there. But has yet to score here in the Stanley Cup Finals. Obviously, Colorado looking to shut the door tonight. Will their leading scorer from this season lift them to one more win? Buy or sell, Rantanen scores a crucial goal tonight.
I'll sell. More important that MacKinnon scores. MacKinnon he hadn't scored in the previous games, you know, and I think he was starting to feel some heat. And he got a power play goal that he was standing by the crease and it bounced off his skate blade and went in. You know, so that's how MacKinnon got his goal. But no, MacKinnon and Makar are the two key guys offensively for them that got put the biscuit in the basket.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll talk about last night's draft with Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, former GM of the Phoenix Suns. We'll preview the Orioles and White Sox game 2 of a 4-game series. Orioles shut out the Pale Hose last night, 4-0 behind Dean Kramer, the bullpen, Adley Rutschman, Austin Hayes in the glove, and all that fun stuff. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Hear more from Lamar Jackson. Childs Walker, we'll talk about the life and career of Tony Siragusa with him around 1:30. And speaking of that subject, we had Marvin Lewis on earlier today, and we'll revisit some of his comments talking about the Goose and that great, one of the great defenses ever, 2000 Ravens.
When you need answers, when you crave sports, when you want the best, it's 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this featured artist Friday. REM is chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from your Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send your request to the Plaza Ford text line. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's talk about the NBA draft. Our next guest, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Hey Maine, new podcast from Kenny Maine. You remember him from his days at ESPN, one of the great personalities there. Each week, Kenny talks to famous people from the world of sports, music, and everywhere else. Download Hey Maine on the Odyssey app or whenever or wherever you should get your podcast. So welcome back, Ryan McDonough, to the program. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Always great to be on with you, too.
All right, let's get to the draft here. And I don't know who this Pancho Boncaro is. Jerry Coleman's talking about during his update. But Paolo Boncaro from Duke went number one. And we had Mike Harmon on, our buddy from Fox Sports, yesterday afternoon. And I guess the betting trends, Ryan, were kind of leaning in Boncaro's direction. So when he was chosen number one, was it really a surprise as it may have been made out to be in a lot of media circles?
Yeah, so the Orlando Magic ran a very tight process. They were quiet. They did not share a whole lot. In fact, if anything came out of Orlando, it was pointing in the direction of Jabari Smith, the forward from Auburn. That was the expectation. And then you're right, the betting markets in the last 24 to 48 hours before the draft, sometime Tuesday or Wednesday, really started to shift, and Boncaro got a lot of traction, and there were some wild swings on the betting market. So I give a lot of credit to the bookmakers. They were ahead of certainly the NBA insiders and even some NBA teams. I guess Paolo Boncaro said last night that he only found out shortly before the pick was made that he was going to be the guy with Orlando. And guys, I don't think he did anything in terms of working out for the Magic, maybe not even interviewing with them. So it was unusual that Orlando, with the number one pick who has that control of the draft, that they wouldn't bring in the young man and spend some time with him. But it seems like they didn't, but still pulled the trigger on him anyways with the number one pick.
Now, last time you were on, I referenced Holmgren maybe having a Durant like game, and as you pointed out astutely, that's why he worked in the NBA. I mean, nobody at that size shoots like Kevin Durant does or maybe ever will. But what separated Boncaro, Holmgren, Smith from the rest? Because was it a big separation of those three to the Murray's, Ivies, Johnny Davis's, and the rest?
Yeah, I think Jaden Ivey should be in that top tier. Sure. I think for me there were four guys at the top, those three front court players, and then Jaden Ivey. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if we look back on this draft years from now and say Jaden Ivey was the best player to come out of the 2022 draft. He ended up going number five to Detroit, who I think did the best overall in the night, not only getting Ivey, but then trading for Jalen Duren, the center out of Memphis. I think, you know, those four guys stand out to me. But as always, as you guys know, there are always players later in the lottery, even sometimes outside the lottery, potentially even in the second round, who end up being among the best players from the draft class. So we'll see how it ends up, but I thought Detroit did very well last night. They have a lot of young talent, led by last year's number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, and adding Ivy, who I think has a chance to be a star, especially offensively, and then Duren, a solid center with some upside. I think Detroit was the big winner last night.
Hey, Ryan, what were the Knicks trying to do?
That's a very good question. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to free up salary cap space to go get top free agents, and it seems like they're targeting Jalen Brunson, the guard from Dallas, who had a terrific year with the Mavs. Something very interesting happened last year, guys, or didn't happen, I should say. The Mavs had the ability to offer Jalen Brunson a four-year, $55 million extension. They did not do that, and because of the contract they gave Brunson, who was a tremendous second-round pick in 2018, but they gave him a four-year deal. And the reason the team's resident to give second-round picks a four-year deal is because if the player plays very well, like Jalen Brunson clearly has, where he's grossly outperformed that pick slot in his salary, well, now he's an unrestricted free agent. So the Mavs don't have matching rights. So, you know, Dallas could re-sign him. They're the only team that can give Brunson 5 years, but it seems like New York is going to be super aggressive. Keep in mind, the Knicks president, Leon Rose, was Brunson's former agent, and they just hired Jalen's dad, Rick Brunson, the former NBA player on Tom Thibodeau's staff. So to me, that's what they're signaling. They're going to be aggressive in free agency, and if they don't get Brunson, they'll get somebody else, but it seems like Jalen Brunson is the guy they have circled.
Hey, Ryan, was there a guy that, after watching film and stuff, that you liked that dropped more than you thought should have?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think at different levels, they got guys who ended up probably on the board a little longer than I thought they would were Ty Washington, the guard from Kentucky. He was one and done at Kentucky. He was a late first-round pick. I had him right around that late lottery, mid-first-round grade. I liked his touch on the floater. And then a pick I think could be another second-round steal. I tweeted this out last night watching the second round. Is for the second year in a row, the New Orleans Pelicans, who drafted Herbert Jones last year, we saw what he did this year in the playoffs in particular against Phoenix. I thought he had an outstanding rookie year as a second-round pick. They got E.J. Liddell, one of the most productive players in the draft, the junior forward out of Ohio State. I'm not sure how he was available in the 40s. I think one of the things that happens, guys, sometimes with upperclassmen is they get picked apart and people look at their flaws and what they can't do rather than what they can do. E.J. Liddell was a very productive college player at Ohio State, and I was shocked he was still there in the 40s. So it seems like, at least in my opinion, for the second year in a row, New Orleans Pelicans may have gotten yet another steal in the second round.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, former Suns GM, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the draft and some NBA. Well, close to us down in D.C., the Wiz, Johnny Davis, Big Ten Player of the Year out of Wisconsin, goes 10 overall. So your assessment of his skill set, and will he have Bradley Beal as a teammate for the foreseeable future here?
Yeah, Bradley Beal, as you guys know, said earlier this week that he's made his decision already. To me, and the expectation around the league is that he's going to re-sign with the Wizards. I'm guessing he's going to opt out of his contract but then re-sign a long-term deal, probably a five-year max deal. I think, you know, if you look at it logically, and if he and his representatives are following the rules, he's technically not allowed to have contact with any teams until June 30th, which is next week. So if he's already made his decision, how would that, you know, logistically work anywhere else other than Washington? And another thing that I think works in the Wizards' favor is if you look at the top teams with salary cap space, they are not destination markets, and they are not places that I think Bradley Beal would want to play. Talking about the Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic, San Antonio Spurs, Indiana Pacers, maybe the Knicks, but the Knicks would have to do a lot more activity to get to Bradley Beal's number. So I think he re-signs in Washington. That is my expectation. And Johnny Davis, the rookie out of Wisconsin with the 10th pick, he had a really productive year this year. He showed significant improvement this year from a year ago. Last year, he didn't start a game. He only averaged 7 points a game. This year, he was close to 20 points and 8 rebounds a game. He's got a strong-bodied wing. He's physical. He likes to initiate contact and use his body to create space and separation from his defender. And I thought he was good at getting to the free throw line and making his free throws. Made almost 80% of his free throws. Shot six attempts a game. So I like this kid. He's talented. He really improved you. Excuse me, he really improved a lot. Now, he's not going to wow you with his shooting, athleticism, or length. He's not going to have an incredible highlight package, but this kid's a good player. He's a really productive player, and he got a lot better from his freshman year to his sophomore year, and obviously the Wiz will try to do whatever they can to help him continue to improve.
Hey, Ryan, why didn't Sacramento take Ivy at 4? I know he was happy, but, I mean, why didn't they?
Well, the strength of their team is in the backcourt, and it was interesting. I understand why you're asking the question, because I thought they would, especially if you look at the recent history of this front office. A couple of years ago, with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield on the roster, they drafted Tyrese Halliburton. Keep in mind, they traded Halliburton to Indiana in season last season for Domantas Sabonis. And then last year, with Davion Mitchell, the talented guard from Baylor, on the board, they drafted another guard and loaded up their backcourt. So to me, maybe it's an organizational shift. They do have a new head coach in Mike Brown, who obviously wants to win right away. And this is a franchise that for the 16th year in a row did not play in the playoffs. So I think, you know, even if Ivy's the most talented player, putting him and Fox in particular in the backcourt together, I don't think would have been a great fit. So I think that was the rationale. I would have taken Ivy. That's the guy I really liked. And yeah, again, I think he might be the best player to come out of this year's draft. But they thought Keegan Murray, the forward out of Iowa, who had a terrific year, is probably the most ready-made player that was available when they're picking, and a guy that they can plop right in right away and they don't have to disrupt their backcourt of Fox and Mitchell.
Ryan, we know you're a busy guy, but real quick, Justin Lewis, Baltimore kid out of Marquette, went undrafted. Looks like he signed with the Bulls. Any reason why he did not get picked among the 60 selections last night?
Well, one of the things that happens, guys, in the NBA draft is if you're not a first-round pick or an early second-round pick, there's a point, usually in the late 40s to 50s, where agents would not want their kid to get drafted, meaning they would rather have the guy be a free agent, go undrafted, and that way they can pick a specific team and a specific situation where they think a player has a chance to succeed, rather than, you know, being at the whim of one team and, you know, maybe they want the guy to go overseas or to the G League, or maybe they just cut him in training camp. So sometimes that does happen where an agent will say, please don't draft my guy. We'd rather have him slide through. Then we can pick our situation and try to maximize our chances of being successful.
Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider. Ryan, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Ryan.
Anytime, guys. Always great to be on with you.
All right, Ryan McDonough joining us. He is a Will McDonough's son and Sean McDonough's brother.
Okay.
There's a lot of sports talent in that McDonough family. When we come back, reset the program for you. NFL lunch coming up at the top of the hour, 1:15. We're going to replay some of Marvin Lewis, who joined us around 10:15. He was the architect of that 2000 Ravens defense, which featured Hall of Famers and Tony Siragusa. Speaking of the Goose, Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun will join us to talk about him and some other Ravens stuff here on this Featured Artist Friday.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Featured Artist Friday, it is REM, chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, you know the drill. Send your request to the Plaza for text line at 410-583-1057. Orioles win last night. 4-0 over the White Sox. Dean Kramer gets the win, his second of the year. Second straight scoreless appearance as he looks like a different guy. Man Bun, as we talked about earlier, I guess is giving him power. It's the guy, Samson and Delilah.
Yeah.
He's got a Samson hair. But if you cut that hair, then all of a sudden he loses that epic strike. So he's got it in a man bun, and he's throwing strikes, hair aside, most importantly. He's pitching in the zone. He's pitching with confidence. The defense did bail him out.
Yep.
After Rutschman hit that two-run bomb, gave the Orioles the early lead, and looked like the White Sox were at least going to get one on the board. And then Gavin Sheets, who had doubled, trying to score with two outs. And you usually send the guy with two outs contact, you know what I mean? Gavin, the son of former Oriole Larry Sheets. Austin Hayes just says, all right, am I in center field, right field, left field? Don't matter.
Yeah.
Left out. I'm throwing you out of the plate.
I just want to play.
You challenge my cannon, and you're going to pay. And he threw him out, and then he was making diving plays all over the field. This Austin Hayes, and I don't want Jake's him, and I probably am. He was my preseason pick for Orioles' most valuable player, and he is certainly in the conversation. Another player who has thrown himself into that mix, and we're more than 3 months away from the vote, Lopey.
Yeah.
You had Hazy and Lopey.
Yep.
And Deanie doing great things in Chicago last night as Lopez picks up his 12th save of the year. Two-thirds of an innings pitch, both ended in Ks, only 7 pitches thrown. So 12 Ks, or 12 saves rather, .77 earn run average of Batista. He pitched well. All right, Tate was kind of dancing on some hot coals there a little bit. But Lopez has been brilliant. And again, to pat myself on the back without hurting my already injured shoulder, I said before the year, said he's the guy. He's the guy. Lopez.
Oh, Lopey, yeah.
He's got 90-plus, high 90s. Pushes triple digits on the radar gun, and we saw him a couple times through the order out of the rotation last year, looked dominant.
Yeah.
But the deeper in the game he got, the shorter in the game he got, because he started getting rocked. So I figured with this brilliant mind of mine that he would be someone that would excel in that area. And Brandon Hyde, me and Hyder are on the same wavelength. He's decided the same thing. And we've seen the results. So I think Lopez, if we're picking an Orioles MVP through what, how many games have they played? 71, excuse me. He would be in the conversation.
He'd have to be.
Question is, though, as the trade deadline's in, you know, about 5 weeks.
Right.
Where do you dangle him? And John Mioli, I mean, Jim Hunter and I, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, a couple of nights ago, said, well, you know, he's still under team control. He is in his arbitration years, which means he gets raises. By the way, Aaron Judge's arbitration hearings today.
Yes.
Who's got the leverage there?
Duh.
He turned down that $19 million offer, but we don't want to get off that topic, the Orioles, that is, too much. But that's going to be an interesting one to follow today. But Mioli's like, well, he gets them arbitration years, then he becomes more expensive, and they have found guys that could come up and maybe fill that role. But they haven't, in my humble opinion, had anyone in high leverage situations.
Yeah.
This good?
Since Britain,
since
right?
Since Britain.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been very impressive. Like, Michael Givens would have a run where he'd be kind of dominant, but the more high leverage the situation, you know, maybe he didn't live up to it.
Why'd they change from closer to high leverage?
I don't know, because they...
Is that analytic term?
Well, he's the closer.
Right.
High leverage means that just because if you dub him the closer, then he has to pitch at the end of the game and get the save. High leverage means now that your best relief pitcher could come in the seventh inning because it's a high leverage situation. Trying to protect the lead and then hope your offense could tackle in a couple of
them. All right, Bob, let me ask you this question.
I can't answer.
If you said that to Earl Weaver, what would he say?
He would be like, hopefully I won't need any relief pitcher. Jim Palmer's going to throw 127,000 pitches and get a complete game victory.
No, but having a high leverage, you know, this is our high leverage guy. He's your what?
Nah. Earl would be like, no, here's what's going to happen. My starter's going to finish what he started. And yeah. If I sense him starting to scuffle, then I'm going to put in my best relief pitcher to close the game. When Earl Weaver was the manager of the Orioles, especially in his heyday, they didn't use 22 relief pitchers a game.
Right.
You had a starter, setup man, and then your closer.
Right.
And even that was still kind of a thing 10 years ago when the Orioles started to win again with Buck Showalter.
Yeah.
Give me six innings, and then let's bring in O'Day, let's bring in Givens, let's bring in Brock, and then we'll bring in, whether it's Jim Johnson, Zach Britton, we're going to close the game out. We're not going with 72 guys. Now that you have to kind of pitch to three dudes now.
Yep.
You see less of it, but you also see more of the, like the Orioles are going to have one tonight, a bullpen game.
Yeah.
So he's going to dig deep into his bullpen because he has to. It looks like Austin Voth will pitch as Bradish is going to be pushed back to tomorrow. But Orioles win. Lopez was great. Kramer's been outstanding. Hayes has been doing his thing. And Adley Rutschman has been on fire here last couple of weeks, you know, living up in a big way to those lofty expectations of being the number one pick overall in the draft. And quietly, Ryan Mountcastle's average is now over 280.
Yeah.
And his power numbers are starting to increase in a big way as well. He's already got power, but all of his hits, it seems, have been hard contact and of the exit velocity things that everybody likes to talk about when we get to the nerd stats. When it's appropriate. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, feed you some football with NFL Lunch. Going to hear from Marvin Lewis about the life and career of Tony Siragusa and the brilliant defense that was the 2000 Ravens. And then Childs Walker talking about that subject as well at 1:30.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.